So if you got your cell phones out, go ahead and take out your selfie. I know we got a couple people here in cell phones. If you got one, grab your cell phone. Get somebody in a picture if they don't got a cell phone. I'm going to get this front row right here. Y'all ready? Y'all about to be. Oh, he's got a phone. I'm going to get Adam and Adam in here then. All right. Whoa, it's so bright. Here he goes. Adam and Adam. There you go. All right, so that's your selfie Sunday. No, you're fine. All right, well, we're going to get some more selfies up in here. All right, so reason why we're taking some selfies, and then after you're done taking your selfie, go ahead and put your phone back in your pocket. All right? All right, so the reason why we're doing Death to Selfie, all right, so we want you guys to hashtag that mug, Death to Selfie. So if you're on Instagram, I know a lot of you guys are on Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, if you're on Twitter, I'm not on Twitter, so but you can still hashtag that mug, Death to Selfie. You can do it at the factory, all right? So go ahead and post those mugs up. All right, so if this is your first time with us today, my name is Pastor Romy. I'm the middle school pastor here. I get to work with all you guys and gals from the – see, I got it. I used to always say just guys. And, you know, I say that a lot, so I'm trying to diversify my lingua a little bit. So you guys and gals, I get to work with you guys 6th to 7th and 8th grade. Right, I didn't say gals over here, so that's good. Adam was like, oh, careful, man. You almost said gals on that side. All right, so – today we get to walk through and finish up our Death to Selfie series, and it's really cool because it's like, 2 weeks from now is Easter, which is crazy. I was like, man, that kind of ran up pretty quickly. All right, so we got one more in here next week, and then the week after that we're in Easter. Like, we're looking towards summertime and hot summer nights and all that stuff. And so, who was here for hot summer nights last year? Yes, this summer's gonna be even doper. All right, so get ready for that. All right, so let's walk through some Death to Selfie intro stuff. While you got your stuff, there should be a handout near you. All right, I put handouts everywhere. Everybody should be able to grab one. All right, there's a handout near you. There's a pen near you. You need a Bible. So everybody grab your Bible. Grab that thing that you love, the Word of God. Grab that handout that I worked tirelessly over to put together. Grab that thing. All right. Grab a pen. All right, so we're going to turn to page number 840. Page number 840. All right, that's where we're at. And so we're in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. So we only got three verses today, which is awesome, right? But if you know Paul, he packs a punch even in just one verse. So get ready for that. All right, so as you guys are turning your pages there, we're going to kind of just walk through while we're doing a series. The first one up is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It just says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. All right, so we're saying that every book of the Bible is profitable for us to go through, right? Whether that be Lamentations or Revelation, right? They're all profitable for us to pick up and to study, right? So you kind of seen our habit of rotation. We've been through the Old Testament in the fall. Now we're in New Testament. So probably come up in the fall, we'll probably go back to the Old Testament. But there's the reason why we're going through the books of the Bible, right? So when we're talking about the book of Philippians, all right, this book that we're reading today, we're talking about Paul, who wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, right? He wrote it kind of as a thank you note. They sent him some money supporting him as he was on his missionary journey. So he's writing back to them. And there's a lot of love in between the two, right? You can sense this love and this relationship in between the two. And it's awesome as we're reading this book. And it's crazy because Paul, right, we say he's in jail where he's writing this letter from. So this is kind of like the setting of it, all right? And then we know about Philippi, right, that we said it's a proud Roman colony. We said there's a lot of retired military people there, right? So it's kind of like, if you can think of it like a military base, right? It's kind of like that. So a lot of military guys right there, right? A lot of hoorah guys in this place, all right? So that's what we're talking about for setting stuff. And then what we mean by death to selfie, when we're saying that, this is what we mean. We'll throw that up, right? In order to walk in humility, to have unity and diversity, to live self-sacrificially, right, for the benefit of others, to develop things that the God is doing in us, right, we have to put aside our own desires, our own needs, right? We have to lay ourselves aside to accomplish those things, right? So we say, man, Man, there's some things that in us that need to die in order for life to happen. Right? So that's what we're talking about. So Romans 8:13, we'll throw it up, and this is what it says, is that for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. All right? So that's what we're talking about. Right? Death bringing life. All right? And even though we're talking about death, right, and I say this every week, but I love saying it, right, we're saying that there's joy in my death, right, there's joy in my death. And what we mean by that is, even though there's some things in our life that are going to have to die in order for us to develop those things that God is doing in us, right, that we can look to the end of that and say, man, I'm joyful because of what's going to happen in my life. Like, I'm joyful because of what God is going to do and the end result of what's got to die in me, right? So even though it might be hard, even though it might be, you know, like, it's a struggle to maybe sometimes die, well, put to death the deeds of the body, right? We can look at the end and say, man, I desire that end, right? So we'll say that. Okay. Today we're going to be picking up our Bibles and turning to page 840 is where we're at. Somebody, a beautiful face got me off track. It was my wife, right? So you know, in the room, all right? Okay, so today in these few verses, well, Paul's going to be talking about a suffering a little bit. He's going to talk about the people proving themselves a little bit in these few verses. And as I was reading it, this thought came to me, and we're going to throw it on the screen for you guys just to kind of read along with me. And it just says this, that when someone proves themselves to something, it's usually through hardship or suffering. Right? When somebody proves themselves to something, it's usually through hardship or suffering, right? So we can look at just even just a couple examples in our lives that you can say, man, somebody's proven themselves when they've gone through hardship or suffering and these things, right? So we can look even at sports, right? So I'll share a story with you guys. When I was a kid, I was in eighth grade, right? So I had to lose like 30 pounds to play football, right? Because I was too big to play with the kids in that age group. And I had played with those kids since I was like eight, right? So I had to work for months and months. And if I could tell you guys, like, I had to eat salads all day, and I had to drink. It was terrible, and I was angry at people being cheeseburgers and fries next to me, and I'd be like, they'd be like, Roman, hey, man, how you doing? I'd be like, shut up, right? You know, like, I want your cheeseburger, man, right? But, you know, like, I wanted to play football, right? It was a desire. It was valuable enough for me to suffer for months and months to make that goal happen, right? So we could even look at, like, good fight, the person that you love the most, right, that you shared everything with, right? That person has been through some stuff with you, right? Your best friend hasn't just been in those moments where it's just been all good and all, you know, cookies and ice cream, right? That they've been through the stuff, the hard things, right? There's been some hardship, and they've proven themselves to you because they stayed with you even through the hard times, right? So that's a good friend when they can stay with you through the good and through the bad, right? So you're like, man, that's a good friend right there. Like, they've proven themselves worthy. Like, I want them to be my friend. They're my best friend, right? Because what they've given themselves up even in suffering and hardship. Like, we can look at even marriages, right? So what do you say when you get married, right? For the better or for what? The better for the worse, right? Some people say for better and they mumble the worst, right? They're like, for better or for they don't want to say the worst part. Like, some people, they don't want to stay in the worst, right? So they don't want to hang around for the worst. They just want the good. But if you've ever seen somebody who's lasted for years and for years and for years and for years, what, there's been some trials, there's been a little bit of suffering in it, but what, they stayed together, right? And they've kind of proven themselves to one another, right? So if you've seen a couple married for like 50 years, right, you can guarantee that they've been through some things, but what, they've proven themselves to each other, and like, they stuck it out, they're together, right? And the last one I put was worthy causes, right? So you can put that under a lot of things, right? Like, a worthy cause that you're willing to, like, give up your time for, really, like, willing to suffer for, right? So for me, I can think of, you know, back during, like, you know, back in the day when, like, black people had to fight for their rights, right? They had to, like, kind of suffer, right, to get their rights. So, like, but they were willing. Like, so my grandpa was willing to suffer, right, so that I could, you know, have rights as an African-American man, right? So that was a worthy cause to fight for. So there's a lot of causes that are worthy, right, that we can give ourselves to and say, man, I'm willing to suffer for that cause because it's worthy enough. There's enough value in that cause for me to suffer for. Like, I'm willing to be kind of worthy for it because, man, that cause is valuable enough. All right, so, again, and I knew, and I always use me and my wife as an example, I knew that Courtney was the one, right? I knew Courtney was the one, is that we went back home, and where I'm from, it's a little hoodish, okay? So, a little hoodish, right? It's, Right, so I'm from a tough spot. I'm from New Jersey. And we went there, and I told my wife, I was like, man, like, I really have a heart for my city. Like, I want to come back here, and, man, I really want to, like, help the community. I want to build a local church, and, man, I want to be, you know, effective in the gospel in this community, like, in this broken community. And, like, she was like, I'm down, right? So background for her, like, she doesn't come from Kurdish area, right? She's private school all her life, right? Daddy had two awesome jobs, right? She come from a nice big old home, right? And she you know, it was all good, right? So for her to say that she's willing to, like, be where I was, right? I was like, right, that girl, she's like, she's worthy enough, right? Not that she, like, you know, nothing like that. But I'm like, hey, man, she's willing to ride with me even in the toughest. Like, man, that's a good woman right there. Like, I want her forever. All right, so that's what we're going to be kind of getting at today. We're talking about, man, being worthy enough, valuable enough to even suffer for. All right, so we'll throw this up. The things that we hold deep value for in us, we are willing to suffer for them, right? So the things that we hold deep value for in us, we're willing to suffer for, and that could be your family, the things that I just talked about. So we're willing to do it. Like, even for you, some of you young guys, like, you're willing to kind of take a toll for the things that you hold deep value for, all right? So our bottom line for today, right? So grab your handout, grab your pen. Here's our bottom line for today. Is that when I suffer for his name, he knows my name. Is that when I suffer for his name, he knows my name. It's a little long one. One more time. When I suffer for his name, he knows my name. All right, so if you guys remember when we first kind of walked into this series and talking about Philippians, talking about the church in Philippi, we talked about how Paul, you know, he went there and what he experienced. And we just talked about, like, how the church of Philippi was born out of persecution and suffering, right? So, like, when Paul went there the first time, when he went to Philippi, he was called there, like, what happened to him was, like, he was dragged out, right? He got dragged in front of people, right? That he was beaten and scourged, and then he got thrown into prison, right? So all this happened while he was there. But, again, this church was born out of that, out of his persecution. So as he's talking to the Philippians today, when we read, he's going to even remind them of it. Like, hey, man, you guys are going through the suffering. Like, you've seen it, man. I've been through it, too. Like, when I planted this church for you guys, like, I've been through that suffering, and now you guys are kind of going through it, too. So that's just kind of the premise of the story. All right, so let's pick up our Bibles, and let's read these three verses, and let's see what Paul has to say. Okay. Verse 27 is where we're going to start at, down to 30. Here we go. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, that from God, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. All right, so here we go. So Paul, right, he's writing to them, and he's telling them, he's giving them some direction, right? He's telling them, like, man, to live a life worthy of the gospel, right? To stand firm, stand united, stand fast, right? He's telling them, like, man, the things that you're going through, like, I've been through and I'm still going through, right? Because he's writing from prison, right? So he's like, I understand what you guys are going through. I've been there, and guess what? I'm still there, right? So there's that understanding between Paul and the Philippians, but the things that he tells them in between there are really important even for us. So, like, even though we don't experience the persecution, like, how Paul did in the early church did, right? Even though we don't face persecution like our brothers and sisters overseas, right, that we can still gain from these three verses some really important things for even for our life here in America. For you guys as young middle school students in schools and at homes, like wherever you are, it's going to be a lot that you can take from this and put on your life. And you can kind of even look at your life and ask that question, man, like, am I living life worthy of the gospel, right? So we can kind of ask that question even one of ourselves. Okay, so here's going to be your first blank for today, all right? Your first blank for today is, Jesus thought I was worth it. Jesus thought I was worth it. So when we talk about, like, the suffering of this church, right, we're talking about the persecution of the church in Philippi, right? You were like, man, that's a hard thing, right? It's a hard thing to talk about. It's a hard thing to deal with. Even like now, it says like, you know, the Christians nowadays are being martyred more than at any time ever, right? So you're like, man, that's tough. That's a tough statement. That's a tough stat to hear. And so like, what are we doing with that? What happens, how does that, you know, correlate even like what Jesus is doing? Like, you know, what do we think about that? Right. So the first thing that I thought of as I was reading through everything, right, is that Jesus thought we were worth it. Right. Because here's a true fact is that he suffered first. Right. So sometimes we can look at the suffering of the church and the suffering of the persecution, like, and look at that and be like, you know, like, you know, like, why? But I want us to look back at the person that started it first. Right. So when we look at Jesus, when we look at his life, like, and he was the first one to go through it, right? That he had a cause that was worthy to fight for, to live for. Right. So what does he do? Right. He comes to the earth, like he humbles himself, right? Leaves his throne, right? And look what he walks through. Like he lives knowing that, man, he's gonna be insulted, that he's gonna be mocked, right? That he's gonna eventually have to die for us. Right? That's his cause. Like he's on the earth walking that thing out. Like knowing at all times, like this is gonna be my life. This is what I'm called to in a sense. Right? So we have that in Jesus, but the whole time that he's doing it, I mean, he's proclaiming over us that, man, we're worth it. As he's living, as he's being insulted, as he's being mocked, as he's being whipped, as he dies on a cross, man, he's declaring over all of you guys, man, that you are worth it. Right? That he can look past the suffering, that he can look past the scorn of the cross and see joy. Right? Because he can see right relationship with each one of you guys. He can see you guys coming into the fold with him. Right? He can see you guys with him in heaven, right? And he has all his brothers and sisters around him praising God together, that he could look to that and find joy even in his suffering. Right? He was like, you are worth it. Like, you're worth it for me to come to shed my blood. Like, you guys are worth it. So every person in this room, and I want you guys to know your worth. Right? That God came and shed his blood. Like, he paid a high price for you. Right? A price that could never be given, that we could never pay. Right? God, I mean, he paid that price for us. Right? All the while saying, man, that you are worth it, right? So when we look at him, this is what I have to say when I think about Jesus and what he did and how he walked. I have to say this, is that if there is anyone who is worthy, whose cause is worthy enough to suffer for, it's his. Right? When I look at how he came and how he lived, how he died for me, if there's anyone whose cause has value on it, right? If there's anyone whose cause is, man, I want to suffer for it too, it's his. Because what? He suffered for me. Right? He came for my cause and he suffered for me. Like, I'm willing to be a part of that. I'm willing to be a part of his gospel. I'm willing to be a part of what he's doing and his plan, right? Because he suffered for me, man. I'm willing to suffer for you, Jesus. Like, I'm willing to go through that, right? If it's for your name, right? If I'm suffering because of your name and because of your love, then I'm willing. Like, give me some of that because you did it first. Right? So, coming out of that, I would have to say, and this is your next blank, is that Jesus is worth it, right? Jesus thought I was worth it. Now I would say that Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. So again, I would have to say, man, look at what the gospel does, right? So he thought we were worth it. And I would say back to him, man, that Jesus is worth it. And then, man, let's look at what the gospel does for us, right? That gospel story, that the cause that he came for, like, man, look what that does for our soul, right? So we're just going to read Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is what it says, and this is Jesus speaking when he came. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," right? So, and this was like, we read this like every Sunday last year. But again, like we talked about last year, how the gospel can't be chained, it breaks chains. Like how the gospel can't be contained, it only brings freedom, right? The gospel can't be stalled, it only advances. Like, I mean, this is what it does for us, that it brings us good news, right? That we have the Lord's favor, right? That he's breaking chains over us, right? That we find liberty in him, right? The oppression is gone, like all those things are gone. So, I mean, this is the gospel that is over us. Like, man, that's a worthy cause that I'm willing to suffer for. Right? It's too much value in that. So then when we talk about, man, that's our story, then, man, we can talk about the endless benefits of being a part of his kingdom. right? So that's the beginning of it. Then we can talk about how and that we're forgiven, how we're loved, like grace is lavished upon us, right? That we have His Holy Spirit, like the Spirit of God dwells within us, right? That we have this inheritance that we can never work for, that is waiting for us. It's endless. It can go on and on and on and on of the goodness of what happens when we say, man, that God is my King. Right? Everything that comes from His kingdom, like being underneath His King, is nothing but goodness. Right? So when I think about that, like I'm saying, hey, man, Jesus, you're worth it. Like your gospel's worth it. That even if there is suffering on my part for your name, right? Not just suffering the suffering, but if I'm suffering for the name of Jesus, for His gospel, man, like, hey, it is absolutely worth it. So the next thing that Paul talks about when he says, man, that we're underneath this gospel, right? He talks about standing in this gospel. Like he says, man, that I want you to strive together, right? There's a oneness that happens. Right, that when we're standing in this gospel and this cause together, he said, man, there should be a oneness, like striving together and fighting together, all these different things that are happening for you guys when you're together, like in oneness in spirit and in mind, like he's speaking of those things. Right? So even in this room, man, for us who say, man, we call on the name of Jesus, like there's a oneness in this room. Right? There's a oneness in mind and spirit in all of us that we can look to and point to one thing and go after that. Right? So what I said was, and this is your next blank, is that see me, see we. See me, see we. And so what I mean by that is that, man, if you see me, like, you're going to see all of us. Like, we're all on one accord. So when you see me, you see what I'm striving for and what I'm contending for, man, like, you see all of us, man. That we're all striving for the gospel. Like, it's in this thing that, man, we want to stand, that we want to unite in. Right, all of us in this room, like, as I know that when we leave from this room, like, we separate, right? I know that happens. But, like, when we come together, right, there should be a oneness in this room, not a separation. Right, so even for you guys, when you're outside of these four walls, right, man, you need to get around some people who are like-minded. Right, get around some people who have that same, you know, target, that same goal. Right, because what happens is sometimes we allow ourselves to kind of be influenced by others who are not like us, right? That don't have that same goal that we do, and sometimes we get veered off of it, right? We start, instead of going this way towards Jesus, we start kind of veering this way because we're around others, right, who don't have that like-mindedness. Right, so when you guys leave here, man, you got to get yourselves around some people that's going to help you be on one accord with what God is calling you to. Right, so again, like, we're in here, we're together, but when you leave here, we're separate. So, man, you got to get around some like-minded people. Right, get around some people that you can be one with, right? Now, I'm not saying to forsake people that, you know, that don't know Jesus. I'm not saying that. But watch who's influencing you, right? Because, influence for you guys is the biggest thing, right? So who are your friends, right? Who are you allowing to, like, pour into your life? Who are you allowing to change you, right? Who are you, like, kind of, like, coming into one accord with, right? So me and my wife, we got married, like, we became one, right? Now we have this goal together, right? We have a vision that's together, right? Like, you can't separate us, right? That we're one accord on so many things. Like, people are like, we're an awesome team together. Right? So it has to be even the same thing for you and your friends, man, that you got find somebody who has that same vision, that they're going the same place as you are, and get with them, man. You got to tag team with them, right? Because they're going to help you get to where you want to go. All right, so again, man, watch who you're influencing. Well, who's influencing you? All right, so what we'll say this is that it's in this gospel, I've kind of already said this already, but it's in this gospel that we do this, that we strive together, right? So we're going after it together, right? That we fight together, right? Not literal fight. Nobody getting fights in here, all right? Don't go home and knock somebody out, right? All right, well, we unite together. Like, you know, there's a coming together. All right, so, man, when you're in this room, man, like, I'm a loving person, right? And I tell you guys all the time I love you. I mean, that should be like all of us, man. Like, this should be a coming together, man. Like, this should be like a celebration when we're together. Like, man, the people of God are together, man. Like, hoorah. You know what I mean? Like, we're on one accord. Like, everybody in the room is, like, going after one thing. Right? And we're going to be able to display that later today. But we'll get there. Right? I will get there. Like, is that Boyz II Men? I will get there. I can't sing, y'all. Sorry. It's a good song, though. It's from the Egypt movie. I will get there somehow. Cross that river. My wife is giving me the no signal. She's just no, just stop. It's all good. Caitlin's good. She's a singer. She gave me the A-OK. So I'm all right. All right? No, so, I mean, we've all been adopted, right? We're all, you know, being transformed. Like, we all have the same Father. And so, again, man, we want that oneness to come forth in the room, right? That uniting to come forth in the room. All right, so when we live this way, right, when we're talking about, like, when we live united, when we're striving together, we're fighting and contending together for the gospel, like, when we live that way, right, it would say, man, it's a clear sign to the opposition that what? God sees me. All right, it's your next blank. When we live this way, when we live in a way that we're together, it's a sign to the opposition that God sees me. God sees me. Okay. So what I mean by that is we're going to read it in this verse right here on verse 28. Okay, let's read together. Verse 28 says this. It says, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. All right, so this is what Paul is saying. Like, man, when you guys are living together, like, you know, striving together, you know, uniting together, all those different things I was explaining, like, when you're living that way, when the opposition looks at you, even though they might be persecuting you, they might be mocking you, all those different things, right, even though that might be happening, like, it's a clear sign to you that, like, it's your salvation, right, because what, God is a just God, right, that, and we're going to read later, but, man, like, he sees what's going on, right, he's not just kind of looking away, but he sees, like, when people are mocking you because of him, right, and we're going to see later, man, like, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name, like, he sees it, right, and he's a just God, so, I mean, we're not looking for revenge against those people, right, but if they don't come to know Jesus, like, Jesus, I mean, the Bible clearly says, man, that, man, he's going to pay back, right, so even if some people are troubling you, like, you don't have to worry about it, like, God's got it, and he sees it, and so a lot of times we look to this life as, like, man, this, God has to, like, pay me back in this life, right, but for a lot of people, like, they didn't have that option, right, a lot of people, they were persecuted, and they died in this life, right, but you can rest assured, right, that God is going to deliver, right? I mean, this life isn't everything. Like, God's going to deliver whether it's in this life or it's in the next life, right? That God is going to see, right, and he's going to judge correctly, and he's going to reward correctly those who follow him, right? So if you're suffering for his name, right, or people are insulting you or mocking you or anything like that for his name, right, you can raise your hands up like, bow, I got that blessing in my pocket, right? Like, boom, that's a reward for me. Yes, sir. Right, I mean, you can rejoice in that because you know, man, that God sees that, right? Not that we're like looking for the reward, but what, God is a good God, right? He rewards those who seek him, right? So when we're living that way, man, and some, so, like, it's happened to me, and I've shared this, guys, this story, and I was really vulnerable, like, when I was in college, and how, man, people just they got me to the core, right? Because I wasn't living like I was supposed to live, being from New Jersey and in the hood, like, I was living like somebody else, and they said I was a disgrace, right? And I was like, wow, like, really? Like, I'm a disgrace because I'm living for Jesus, right? But again, like, I can say in that moment, like, man, dude, I'm blessed, right? I'm blessed in that moment because even though, like, these people are coming at me, like, I know that God sees that, right? It's a clear sign, like, man, like, dude, you're on the wrong path. Like, you're opposing the king, man. I don't even have to do anything. Like, so it's a clear sign that, man, I'm all right, of God's salvation. And it's a clear sign of their destruction. Like, I don't want them to be destroyed, but it's just what the Bible says. Right, if they don't repent and find God, I mean, it's an indicator, right, that some destruction is coming, not by my hands, but by God. So I know God sees me, so I don't have to worry, right? Because I can tell you guys, man, there's been times in my life where I've been overlooked, right? I've been overlooked a lot, right? And I've told my wife this before, man, like, I mean, I don't have to worry about it because I know that God sees me. Like, I know that God sees all, like, and he's a just God. And so whether, like, it happens for me in this life, right, or not, I know what, that God is just God and he's going to deliver, so I can rest in that, all right? Okay, so here's our last one for today, all right? Our last blank for today is this right here, is I am made worthy. I am made worthy. You can write it on the bottom, I guess. It didn't make it. Oh, I am made worthy because I am willing to suffer. Here you go. Technical difficulties. Bam, look, there it is. Just like that. I am made worthy because I am willing to suffer. All right? So what we mean by that, and I said it earlier today, is that when somebody proves themselves to something, when somebody proves themselves to something, right, they're willing to what? Suffer for. When something has value for you, like you're willing to suffer for. So for us, we have to make sure that I'm not, because I know you guys in your schools, right, it's not the most popular thing to be praying at school or to even, like, bring up Jesus at school. Like, that's not, like, the hey, yo thing, right? So what we have to be, don't, like, step back away from the possibility of being mocked or being insulted. Like, we shouldn't try to avoid, right, the possibility that we might suffer for his name, right? Because it shows that, man, it's not that valuable, right? Because if I can step back away from something, I'm showing that I'm not really in it, right? It's kind of like that friend, like, you know, like if you were, like, about to get into, and don't get into fights, but if you were about to get into a fight, right, you got your boy with you, and then you turn around, and he's gone running, like, you'd be like, dude, like, what happened? Like, I thought we was rolling together. I thought you were my boy, right? So, I mean, like, it's kind of like that, and I, like, our relationship with God, like, man, are we rolling? Are we willing to roll with him? Like, are we willing to roll with him, even if that means, like, you know, there might be some hardship on the other end? Are we willing to ride with him, right? Because if we are, right, if we are, then, man, we're saying, man, I'm worthy. Like, I'm worthy, like, well, if this cause has happened, right? I'm worthy. I'm living in a manner that's worthy of the gospel because I'm willing to suffer for it. So again, man, I'm going to say and I'm going to encourage you guys, because I know this is the area of struggle, all right? That, man, be willing. I mean, and it may not happen. It may not even happen for you guys. But, man, don't try to avoid the possibility of being made fun of because you believe in Jesus, right? Again, if it's for his name, don't try to escape the possibility. Don't try to avoid it, man. Step into it, right? Because, again, man, what God sees, right? He's the one that matters. Like, he's the one that we want to notice us. Because again, like the bottom line says today, man, if I'm willing to suffer for his name, then he knows my name. Like, that's the person I want to know me, right? I'm not too much worried about my social status, right? I'm not too much worried about what the coolest dude or the coolest girl in school has to say or whatever. Like, I'm not afraid of rejection, right? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying I'm not afraid of it. What? Because, man, the person that knows my name is the person that I want to know my name, right? That's the problem. I want God to know me, right? So I'm going to show him, man, God, I'm willing to suffer for your name, and then he's going to know my name. All right, so we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit, right? Because we've been talking about suffering and things like that. So we're going to talk about some celebration now, all right? Celebrate good times. Come on, all right? So let's as we kind of end today in our sermon side, but let's end celebrating together, all right? So I'm going to read some scriptures, and we're going to just kind of uplift our spirits, all right? Okay, so let's throw the first one up, Matthew 5, 11 and 12. It says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, Jesus speaking. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So again, man, Jesus saying, like, man, you're blessed, man. You got some rewards waiting for you in heaven. Right, because people are what? They may persecute you for my name. Again, if it's for his name, man, hey, then it's worth it. All right, so let's read the next one. 2 Thessalonians 1, 10 and 11 says this. On the day that he comes, when Jesus comes back again to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, this includes you. Everybody say, this includes me. Say it one more time like you believe it. Say, this includes me. There we go. Because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you as what? Worthy. All right, so that's what, man, we're waiting for that goodness to happen, right? I mean, it's going to happen when God's going to crack the sky, and we're going to be like, I told you so, right? You're going to have one of those in your spirits, right? Like, I told you he was real. There he is. We're going to marvel together, right? You know, it's going to be awesome, right? I mean, I can't wait for that day to be like, there he is, right? I'm excited for it, right? So that's what I have to look forward to. So again, like, so even though we talked about, man, there's some suffering that may happen for his name, that I can look forward to the blessing that's coming. All right. So we'll skip over to, well, no, we'll end right there. Revelation chapter 21 simply says this. It talks about the end. And I say this, when I'm discouraged, I like to read the scriptures. They're not going to throw up a screen for you. I'm just going to tell you about it.
Revelation chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It talks about God coming down, right? That he's going to come down, make his place here, that he's going to be our God. We're going to be his people, right? He's going to make everything new. He's going to wipe away every tear, right? There's not going to be no more suffering, right? No more death, right? I mean, it's one of those verses that you read and you're just like, I can't wait, right? I can't wait for that to happen, right? So, I mean, I know that it's going to happen. So whatever I may have to go through for his name right now, man, it's okay because I can look at the end and be like, yes, sir. Like, I'm waiting for that day where I get to be with him. He's going to be my God. Like, I'm waiting for that day, right, where, I mean, he's going to wipe away all my tears. And he's seen everything already. I mean, that's going to be no more. Like, and we're just going to get to be with him forever. Not just, like, you know, where you're just living forever doing what you want. But, like, man, we get to be with God face to face in relationship with him forever. Like, there ain't no barriers. So, it's, I mean, that's something that should get us excited, man. I mean, it gets me excited to think about it. All right, so even though we may go through suffering, right, but if I'm willing to, he knows my name, right, and I can look to the end for encouragement. Say, man, there's going to come an end to this, and it's going to be good, especially if I say, man, this cause is worthy enough, man, I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to back off, right, I'm not going to back down. All right, so as we get ready to stand, my man Nathaniel is going to get ready to come up and kill some worship on the acoustic guitar. All right, so all you guys can stand up with me. Everybody stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet. All right. So, man, we might have to throw on one of the lights in the back. There you go. One of the sliding ones. Yeah, it's a little better. All right, so the way we're going to end today is that, I mean, I wanted us to go into worship with the one thing that we talked about today. I mean, just looking forward, striving together. Right? Again, like how we talked about last week, like worship being this moment where we get to meet God, we get to experience him. Right. So we're going to do the same thing that we did last week, is that, man, we're going to separate from each other. Right. So if you're standing next to somebody, I want you to go ahead and get some space. Right. You can move to the side if you want to. You can, you know, just get some space in between. It's not our time where we're going to, like, you know, maybe lean on people or love on people. So this is your moment between you and God. Right. So we're going to sing some songs together. That's going to be, you know, awesome to just unite and just kind of declare together, right, as a body of Christ. So again, man, this is our moment where, like, we're going to take this seriously. Right. So we're trying to change the atmosphere in here. Right. Just from this is another checklist, something just to check off. But, man, this is our moment and we can come in contact with the living God. All right, so with every head bowed, man, I'm just going to pray some things over us. And as you guys know, man, we always have something to respond to. Last week it was about taking steps. All right, so some of us took some steps last week. Somebody, you know, took a step to know Jesus. Another person, knee got healed. Another person took a step to, you know, to throw off some sin that may be entangling. I mean, it was good last week. So, man, we want to set the tone for, like, every week. Every time we're in worship, man, we want God to do something big. And so today, man, as our heads are bowed, I just want to put this out there that maybe you're here today and maybe you're hearing everything and you're like, man, I don't necessarily even know this Jesus that he's speaking about. I don't even know necessarily about this cause, but I want to know him. Man, I want him to be my king. I want to give my life to this God that was willing to suffer for me, that was willing to die for me. Maybe that's you today. And if that's you, man, I just want you to raise your hand nice and high, just unashamed, just nice and bold. If you would say, man, today, man, I want to give my life to Jesus, man, just raise your hand. All right. Then the next one. If you would say that, man, Pastor Romy, I'm not necessarily suffering because, you know, of Jesus' name, but I feel like I'm suffering. And that's a real thing that we face sometimes. So even though I talked about today that meant suffering for his name, that you might have some suffering going on for another reason. And I want you to know that God sees that too. And today, man, we've got leaders all around the room that want to connect with you and want to pray with you and speak some things into your life, man. If you feel like, man, I'm suffering, I need Jesus on this. So if you say, man, that's me today, that you're suffering, I want you to just raise your hand. And our leaders want to pray with you. If there's any suffering in your life, man, we want to speak to that. see that hand. Thank you. Okay. And then the last one for today is that if you would say that, then I've been stepping back, that there's been moments where I knew that I might be made fun of, or I knew that I might, you know, get joked about because, like, I love Jesus. Like, I've had these moments, and every time they kind of come up, I just kind of step back because I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to be seen as different. Well, maybe you heard this message today, and you were like, I'm ready to step in. And that it may not even mean that, like, somebody's going to make fun of you, but you have it in your heart, man, like, Pastor Romy, I want to step in. I want to go all in because Jesus is worth it. I don't want to step back anymore. I don't want to shrink back anymore. I want to be the person that believes and is saved. If you say, man, that's me today, won't you raise your hand, man? We want to pray with you.